This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I want to call to order this meeting of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. And I think my computer just made noise, so a reminder to you, if you have an electronic device here today, please make sure that you've silenced it, or we'll think of some really nasty fine for you. I'm Senator Wayne Steinhauer, chairing for today. I want to welcome all of you and those listening on the Internet. And we have a podium over here where you should sign in if you plan to testify on any bills. If you're going to be representing anyone other than yourself, you should have your lobbying badge on. We have pages that will also assist in handing out any information that you might have. And at this time, I'd like the pages to come forward, tell us a little bit about yourself and your plans for the future, and maybe what surprised you most about being here.
My name is Megan Linke. I'm a senior at Woonsocket High School. This fall, I plan to attend SDSU for probably nursing, but it's still a little bit undecided. I would say the thing that most surprised me, I guess this is kind of a not super serious one, but when I first came, I was like, the senators are going to be so scary and like not going to want to talk to me, but everybody's actually really nice and helpful. So,
excellent. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Grace Adam, and I am a homeschool junior from Clark, South Dakota, and I plan to attend Northern State University for counseling and music. I would say pretty much what Megan said for my what I didn't expect.
Thank you for being here. And I'm going to take a personal privilege as well. Elena Murphy, would you come forward? So today we've got a lot of young people in the Capitol, I think really, truly future leaders for our state, and I'm being shadowed by one today. Elena, would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about FCCLA?
Yeah, so I'm the South Dakota, my name's Elena Murphy. I'm from Hartford, South Dakota. I go to West Central. Anyways, I'm the South Dakota State Vice President of Recognition for FCCLA. FCCLA is focused around like FACS education, or FCS education, formerly known as FHA. So we focus a lot on the family and like building careers, and then also like helping out our communities through community service.
Great. Thanks for being here. It's great to get to know you. At this point, let's call the roll.
Senators Duhamel.
Here.
Foster.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Rush. Russell. Steinhauer.
Here.
Soholt. There is a quorum, Mr. Chair.
We have a quorum, barely. Thank you for being here. So we did have a meeting recently, and there were minutes of that meeting. Does anybody want to? Senator Duhamel moves approval, seconded by Senator Jensen. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? The minutes are carried. Thanks, and good job again on those. I want to bring to your attention Senate Bill 81, just at the request of the prime sponsor and the discretion of chair. We're going to defer Senate Bill 81 to this Friday's meeting. So if you happen to be here for that reason, you just got some time freed up. So the first matter before us is the advice and consent of Lori Gill, a Hughes County peer, to be the South Dakota Secretary of the Department of Social Services. Is there a proponent here for that appointment?
Good morning, Chairman, committee members. Melissa Klayman with the Governor's Office. I'll have to say I was a state officer for FCCLA many, many years ago. It was actually at the national meeting when they changed it from FHA to FCCLA. But enough about me. I come before you today to ask for your support for Lori Gill, who Governor nomed as the Cabinet Secretary for the Department of Social Services in July. I'm very humbled to be working with Lori. She is one dedicated individual. Her experience is she has over 20 years of experience with state government. Her most recent position before taking on the cabinet role with the Department of Social Services was the Commissioner for the Bureau of Human Resources. She was also the Secretary at the Department of Human Services for a couple of years as well. But her passion for working in government extended upon her full-time role, where she was also the mayor for the city of Pierre for a number of years as well. Her and her husband have been in Pierre since 1991 and have been a blessing to the community of Pierre. So again, I'm privileged to have the honor to working with her on a daily basis. She is a very driven individual that I know will get things done when the governor asks her to. So I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents? Ms. Yell, did you want to say anything? Or?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it is my pleasure. I'm Lori Gill, and I have been serving in this role since July. Social Services is an agency that exists to support families, strengthen individuals, elderly, people with disabilities, and provide safety net services for those folks when they need it. It is a good fit, I think, for some of the things that I have done, bringing my experience together. There are many challenges. Try to manage these programs in a cost-efficient manner, but yet provide access to care around the state for people that need it. So we're focusing on that, and I really appreciate being here and the opportunity to serve the governor and serve with you as public servants.
Thank you very much. Are there any additional proponents? Seeing none, any opponents to advising consent? At this point, I'd entertain discussion and or motion. Senator Rush.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move approval.
Second. We've got a motion by Senator Rush for the advise and consent approval for Lori Gill to the Secretary of the Department of Social Services, seconded by Senator Jensen. Comments on that motion, Senator Rush?
Yes, certainly. We've known Ms. Gill for involved in many different departments over the years. Heard nothing but good things about her work, and I'm sure she'll do. And this is obviously a huge, huge department that needs some really close supervision and some decisions about whether we're heading the right direction or not when we're asking for, what, $1 billion budget for this year. And, you know, I'm confident that she will be the one that can do that.
Thank you. Additional comments? Seeing none, the motion before us is approval of advice and consent for Lori Gill to the Department Secretary of Social Services. Alina, would you please call the roll?
Senators Duhamel?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell? Excused. Steinhauer?
Aye.
Soholt? Excused. Five ayes, Mr. Chair.
The motion to for advise and consent of Lori Gill does pass. Since it is the first time through, it does need to be carried down to the Senate floor. Senator Rush, would you mind, since you made the motion, speaking to her great qualifications?
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you very much. I hope you sleep better tonight. The next item before us is Senate Bill 5, which is to provide immunity for qualified mental health professionals at appropriate regional facilities. Do we have a proponent? Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senator Margaret Sutton, District 10, Sioux Falls, Brandon, and Renner. I come to you this morning regarding Senate Bill 5. This was part of the interim work to reduce the overall use of acute mental health hospitalization task force. As you know, there were five summer studies this summer, and this was a part of that, chaired by Alan Solano. This bill provides immunity for qualified mental health professionals at the appropriate professional regional facilities. Senate Bill 4 that you heard last week was passed in this committee to provide for the designation of an appropriate regional facility by the Department of Social Services. As part of this package, SB 5 recognized that managing involuntary commitments on an outpatient basis is frequently a high-risk undertaking. there needs to be a statutory immunity for civil liability, of course, absent from willful or negligence, extended to providers and others involved in the execution of outpatient commitments. This bill addresses those concerns. So I bring forward to you this morning for your consideration. I'll be happy to address any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Senator. Are there additional proponents here for Senate Bill 5?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Terry Dosh. I serve as Executive Director of the South Dakota Council of Community Behavioral Health. I can be very brief this morning, Mr. Chair. We rise in support of this legislation. It does pair with Senate Bill 4, which you previously heard, and it just adds QMHP, who's associated with an appropriate regional facility in that block of immunity that already exists for crisis intervention services. We support.
Thank you. Additional proponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Deb Fisher Clemens with Avera, and I rise in support of this legislation as well. And I would just add one additional comment to what's already been said is regionalization and creating a way that we can deal with crisis situations in our very rural hinterlands when there is a mental health crisis is critically important. This is a second piece to the building of that structure, creating that immunity. And we are very supportive of this legislation as well as regionalization so we can take care of our people. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Additional proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jeremy Johnson with the Department of Social Services. Wanted to offer DSS the support of this bill. We participated in the task forces this summer and agree with the comments provided by the previous proponents, and it's good clarification to provide an appropriate regional facility with the same protections as other facilities that are providing that service. This bill ensures that facilities are not deterred from seeking that designation as an appropriate regional facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents? Good morning, Mr. Rabe.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I will be brief. Tim Rave, Sadaho. I just want to go on the record in support of this bill. Again, as was mentioned, it was the package of eight bills that came out of the summer studies. They've done some really good work, and we just rise in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents? Senate Bill 5. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 5? Last chance, any opponents? Seeing none, we're going to skip rebuttal, and we'll go right into committee questions. Senator Rush, it looked like you were moving for a question there.
My microphone. I didn't really have any questions. I have comments.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. You know, this immunity for the qualified mental health professionals is a critical part of the regionalization because we can't have these facilities if there isn't that immunity there. And the regionalization is such an important development here in South Dakota. You know, I started in this field, 50 years ago, nearly 50 years ago, when I was elected as state's attorney. And at that point, really the only facility was the state mental hospital in Yankton. And, you know, I don't know how many times there were, if somebody was having a mental health problem, you know, what we loaded them up and hauled them to Yankton. Now, we were in a different location because we were in Vermilion, which Yankton was just down the road. But I also, you know, talked to state's attorneys at the time who were having people hauled from Rapid City and Mobridge and places like that to, you know, and it... Many of those people, once they got them on medications, were able to be released very quickly. You know, the sheriff in Vermilion, his claim always was that they generally beat him back to Vermilion when he took them there, which obviously was an exaggeration. But, you know, this regionalization is so important, and this is a critical part of that.
Senator Juhama.
I just want to say how impressed I am with the work of the summer study in this package of bills for mental health. Most impressive. It's exciting to be part of it, even on this end.
Excellent. Thank you. Maybe we should move into a committee action. Senator Duhamel.
Second.
Hit your mic.
I propose do pass.
Okay.
Motion.
Seconded by Senator Jensen. So the amended motion by Senator Duhamel and pass on Senate Bill 5, which is providing immunity for qualified mental health professionals at appropriate regional facilities, and that was seconded by Senator Jensen. Discussion on that motion? Senator Duhamel? Any? I think we've had it already. I, too, want to add my thanks for the summer studies. I was involved in one of them. I think there's a lot of good work, and I think we will be doing more to help those people with mental health issues in our state as a result of it. So thank you for bringing the bills forward. With that, would you please call the roll on Senate Bill 5? The motion is due pass.
Senators Duhamel?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell? Excused. Steinhauer?
Aye.
Soholt? Excused. 5 ayes.
Senate Bill 5 is due pass. Motion has been approved. This does qualify to go on the consent agenda, unless there's a senator that wants to carry it to the floor and talk about it, or if there's an objection. Seeing none, it will go to the floor on the consent agenda. Next bill in front of us is House Bill 1010, which is to revise provisions regarding the testimony of qualified mental health professionals at involuntary commitment hearings. Senator, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I bring before you House Bill 1010. This is another part of the package that was created by the reducing the overall use of acute mental health hospitalization task force work this summer. House Bill 1010 merely clarifies existing law. It doesn't make any substantive change, but it takes some language in the current statute that was a little less than clear and makes it clearer. What the effect of this bill is to reaffirm that when we are petitioning for the involuntary hospitalization of a person who is alleged to be mentally ill, there need to be two opinions from qualified mental health professionals to support that commitment. When a person is initially held because of a fear that they may be mentally ill and a danger to themselves or others, that requires a qualified mental health professional's review, examination, and statement. When we go to the next step of the process, which is the actual hearing before the Board of Mental Illness, where the board must determine if, in fact, this person does need to be involuntarily hospitalized, a mental health, qualified mental health professional must also testify to the board. What House Bill 1010 does is makes it clear that those qualified mental health professionals must be different people. It's a second opinion. We think it's a worthwhile clarification of existing law. We think it provides protection for people who are potentially subject to involuntary hospitalization, that they don't end up being placed in a hospital environment for treatment without at least two qualified mental health professionals attesting to the fact that they believe they need it. So I would urge the passage of House Bill 1010, and I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Additional proponents for House Bill 1010? It's a race.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Deb Fisher-Clemens, representing Avera. As you know, we do a lot of behavioral health in this state. This is just one more piece of the of all of the work that was done by the task forces. It is the right thing to do because we do want to assure that an individual is assessed twice. And any time we're dealing with the QMHPs and this kind of situation, In addition, I think this opens the door for a lot of the discussion that occurred regarding using telemedicine to do assessments of folks in this arena. So we're supportive because of both of those reasons. It's about doing the right thing for people in a very timely fashion to assure that we can take care of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents. Hurry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Again, I'm Terry Dash. I'm Executive Director of the South Dakota Council of Mental Health Centers. This particular LTF initially started to take on the task of developing a rewrite for 27A10, which was a major undertaking. And part of the reason for that is that that area code is kind of difficult to interpret. At some point in time, it will need a collateral rewrite to be fully understandable. But one of the tripping points that was identified when they decided not to move forward with a complete code rewrite this year was this particular area, which just refers to a QMHP who's independent of the petitioner. That caused some confusion among local attorneys and some chairs of mental health boards. And so this just puts it into a crystal mode, so that's perfectly understandable what is meant by that. And this really isn't a law change, because this is the way it's intended to work right now. You know, the other thing I would just point out is that second eval phase before the Board of Mental Illness is important. If you look at the statute extant, you'll see that one of the areas of testimony is alternatives to inpatient treatment. It's very important that the boards get that, so that in the spirit of reducing overall utilization of inpatient or acute mental health hospitalization, that those alternatives can be reviewed by the board, and if an alternative is available, it can be utilized. So that would conclude my testimony. I thank the board for considering it. Please support.
Thank you. Additional proponents of House Bill 1010.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, Jeremy Johnson with the Department of Social Services. Just wanted to echo the support of the previous proponents and offer that DSS supports this good clarification to ensure appropriate QMHPs can provide testimony at involuntary commitment hearings. And thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents.
Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Tim Rave, representing Sedaho. I rise in support of House Bill 1010 for all the reasons previously stated, and you think I'd be smart enough to go before Terry Dash, because the guy is really smart and he knows a lot of stuff, but I haven't learned that lesson. So I ask for your support of the bill. Thank you.
There's always next time. Thank you. Additional proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1010? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll dispense with rebuttal and open it up to committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Move into then committee discussion and or action. Senator Duhamel.
I would propose a motion do pass.
Second. It's been moved by Senator Duhamel, do pass, seconded by Senator Foster. This is on House Bill 1010, which will revise provisions regarding testimony of qualified mental health professionals at involuntary commitment hearings. Discussion on that motion? Senator Rush.
Thank you, and I think that this is really important. I think that was probably everybody's understanding, but I think it's important to make it clear that we're talking about two separate professionals and not just one opinion. I think having that second opinion is a really important part of the process.
Additional discussion? I'd echo the comments. I'm glad the bill's in front of us and we're taking this action. And at this point, I'd ask for that we call a roll on the motion to approve House Bill 1010.
Senators Duhamel?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell? Excused. Steinhauer?
Aye.
Soholt? Excused. 5 ayes.
House Bill 1010 has been approved unanimously by the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. This again qualifies as one of those bills that could go down to the floor on a consent agenda, unless there's objections from the committee or the prime sponsor. Seeing none, we will move it to the consent agenda in the Senate. That really concludes what was in front of us, but Senators, I just want to point out that with the move of Senate Bill 81 to Friday, we've got several bills up, so make sure you studied, and we'll have to move through those very quickly, and I know that Senator Soholt will keep us on task on Friday, so I won't have to do that. At this point, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Rush to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you all for being here.